discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey now. All right, so I just got back from speaking in Columbus, Ohio, where I also attended the National Society of Genetic Counselors Conference. And on the back end of my business trip, my dad, Howard Hartley, flew out to join me on a guy's weekend where we attended the Ohio State University football game in the Horseshoe. You know, a little bit about dad first before we get into the episode. My dad has been an everyday dad for 51 or 52 years. And he, at the age of 65, 10 years ago, he adopted two kids from Haiti a year before the earthquake. And so not only is he 75, but he's got teenagers living in his home, which has got to make anybody desperately in need for a guy's weekend. So dad joined me and we had a great time at Ohio State. Our seats were literally on the 50-yard line, 28 rows up, probably the best seats I've ever had for a football game. And I'll make sure to post a photo of dad and I on the show notes page for this episode. Wirebuzz.com/120 is how you're going to access it. We also took some photos from around the city. And, you know, candidly, this was the best time that we have shared together in 20 years. I mean, it was just really great. We sat up late after going out to dinner or going to a football game. We sat up and watched late football and our game that we wanted to watch, the USC-Texas game. Started at like, I don't know, 9 o'clock Eastern, and both of us were struggling to keep our eyes open. It went into double overtime, and we just had a ton of fun. Anyway, my dad, and this might be a little bit too much information, but I'm sure you'll appreciate it because I'm going to give you a business takeaway on it. My dad's a snorer, and we shared a room. And I just didn't know. I mean, I remember as a kid hearing how bad it was, but I, you know, memory isn't always as good. And I had a hard time sleeping because we shared a room, right? But I have this app on my phone that, thank God, if this app didn't exist, I wouldn't have slept at all. Cause I started doing this, like in the middle of him sleeping, I started going to try to like snap my fingers and maybe break up his cycle. But I've got this app called White Noise. And in White Noise, you can create different playlists. Different mixes of music. And the one that I found that hid dad snoring the most is the one that had Heavy Rain and Thunder. Listen to this. I played this in my headphones super loud. Here you go. Well, it allowed me to get two nights of sleep. I mean, with all that rain, I got up and peed every 12 minutes. But at least I fell deep asleep and kind of could tune out that whole dad snoring thing. And at the Columbus Convention Center, which is where I was for the National Society of Genetic Counselors Conference, they had a really super cool video display. It was a 3D display of a human head. You're laughing, Christo, because you've seen the video, right? Yeah. And you can go into the head and it'll take a 3D photo of you, and yours truly did that. And on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/120, you'll be able to see my face pop up. It's a little bit disturbing, right? But I made sure to do it because I thought it was a really cool use of video. So you'll find that video image that I took of my big mug in the middle of the lobby. You'll get to see it on the show notes page. And I just have a ton of things that I've been wanting to share. You know, as I've been stuck on airplanes going to the Midwest and coming back home, even I went from Columbus, Ohio to Phoenix via Wichita. So you know that I spent some time and I want to share some news with you that I think really matters to video marketing masters. Well, let's talk about YouTube for a moment. Think with Google had a very interesting piece about YouTube. It says, you think cats are big on YouTube? Well, education and learning videos earn four times the watch time of animal videos on YouTube. There are 500 million views of learning-related content on YouTube every day. Now, people just aren't watching, they're engaging. 1 million learning videos are shared each day. These viewers are learning from a library larger, the YouTube library, which is larger than the Library of Congress. And unlike that Library of Congress, the YouTube library is global. Over 50% of learning-related videos are uploaded outside of the U.S. It's just phenomenal. Think with Google goes on to say, one tip for successful skill-building content from a playbook YouTube creators for edutubers. Edutubers is not to be afraid to go niche. Well, in this podcast, on another episode, we explain the riches are in the niches. And as you can see from the chart that I'm going to put up on the show notes page on 120, niche videos earn more traffic from search because people are seeking concrete answers to very specific questions. I'll make sure you get access to that. Mobile has conditioned consumers to turn to their devices in what we've discussed in a past episode as micro moments. Now the ways people get assistance evolves, right? And from typing onto our device to speaking onto our device. And for example, in the Google app, 20% of searches are now done by voice. And that's just a preview of what's coming up ahead in a world absorbed by Siri and Alexa and all of their friends, right, that are all growing up right now. By analyzing 900,000 mobile ad landing pages across 126 countries, Think with Google explains, we've established a new industry benchmark for mobile page speed. The open source AMP, which you might be hearing of, is called Accelerated Mobile Pages Project, launched 18 months ago, and it helps make the mobile web faster and better. And now Google is working with advertisers to send paid mobile traffic from search ads to accelerated mobile pages and these landing pages, making the path to purchase faster for consumers. Now, that's a critical milestone, given that for every second delay in a mobile page load, conversions can fall by 20%. I'm going to say it again because it's important. Every second delay in a mobile page load decreases conversion by up to 20%. That is remarkable, especially in a society where all of us have ADD and we skip, skim, bounce, get frustrated, and continue on with our search. Them times, they are a-changing. And when I got started in 1999, that wasn't a concern. But now, as more and more people are using mobile devices, the emphasis needs to be on fast mobile landing pages that help people go through the process, start thinking about your website, run a Google test on it, run a Pingdom test on it, and check to see how fast your sites are loading. You know, while I was traveling, we went past 9/11, right? September 11th. And I was an on-air talk show host. We just passed the 16th anniversary of 9/11 just a few weeks ago. But I've been traveling so much that I wanted to share a really important business takeaway that I learned on that fateful day, 9/11. Yes, it was it's still a very sad day for me. I was behind the microphone at News Radio 550 KFYI that day. A year later, Clear Channel set me on location to be a reporter on the site of the World Trade Center. And every day while working and talking and interviewing the victims' family members, I uncontrollably bawled my head off. Now, the business lesson that I learned the actual morning of 9/11, I'd like to share with you. I was prepping for our four-hour evening drive show at the radio station shortly after the second tower fell. The executive producer of the morning show, whose cubicle was right next to mine, leaned over and started reading me the opening script for tomorrow's show that he was working on prepping the night before. And he said, "How does this sound, Todd?" Quote, "In what's got to be the biggest news story of the year, two planes, ... and emotions that day were super high." And I jumped in and said, "What's got to be the biggest news story of the year? Are you kidding me? This has to be the biggest news story of your entire life." And the producer said, oh, look, I haven't heard anybody say that yet. And I replied back to him and I said, look, you don't need validation to state the obvious, right? You don't need to wait and echo somebody else if you already know it to be true. And I want you to think about trends in your business that same exact way. If you're truly a leader in your industry, you will know it to be true when you see it. But there are two types of professionals. The ones who see the trends and clearly identify them, and the follower that waits for validation or confirmation before they adjust how they explain it. Which one are you? I'll tell you right now, the biggest trend in my industry is obvious. There are video creators out there that are television production guys or kid with camera or wedding photographers that are coming into the digital space. And what I know to be true is anybody can create a video. Videos don't create results. The type of video creator that knows how to create results is few and far between. Those are the ones that can justify ROI and can prove it out and are willing to step up at the very beginning and say, we are an agency that specializes in ROI using the power of video. And that's where video marketing is heading. And I don't need anybody to validate or confirm that for me. Google's search app for ISO is today introducing a feature that'll keep users browsing the web. Now, instead of exiting back to their homepage, which we've always seen from the Google search app, you know, you just kind of like go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, right? Well, instead of doing that, and you then would use another mobile application, the app is being updated to include a related content section that'll appear at the bottom of the web pages you visit while using the Google app. Now, that is, if you search for the topic on Google, then tap to read an article about that subject, the app may offer suggestions of other related articles once you've finished. This is in TechCrunch. It'll be on the show notes page. I'm also going to put on a GIF of what it looks like when you're using this app so you can visually see how Google provides you a kind of a scroll through of the other search results to help you get there longer. GIF, right? Gotta love that. TechCrunch article, wirebuzz.com/120. Apple Safari is in the news. Silicon Beat reports the upcoming iOS 11 is winning pundits in anticipation of its big reveal that's coming up on Tuesday. But one group ain't so happy with Apple's updates in its Safari browser. By the way, I'm reading from Silicon Beat. They don't write with ain'ts, but I sure did. I'm just kicking them up another notch for your listening pleasure. Six of the leading players in the advertising industry penned an open letter to Apple expressing their concerns about Safari's new intelligent tracking prevention feature. Now, the new feature restricts tracking by further limiting cookies. I love cookies. And other website data from being shared across multiple websites. From Safari users, this offers a cleaner internet experience with no hassling advertisements. But for advertisers, the feature is going to be a huge blow to a struggling industry whose revenues are dominated by Facebook and by Google. Quote, now this quote comes right out of the letter written by the six leading players in the advertising industry that wrote that open letter to Apple. They said, quote, blocking cookies in this manner will drive a wedge between brands and their customers, and it'll make advertising more generic, less timely, and useful. Put simply, machine-driven cookie choices do not represent user choice. They represent browser manufacturer choice. Apple, in a statement, replied back and said the feature does not block ads or interfere with legitimate tracking on the sites that people actually click on and visit. You know, cookies for sites that you interact with function as designed and will in the new iOS 11, and ads placed by web publishers will appear normally. You can see the full article from Silicon Beat on the show notes page for this episode. It's been a while since I've talked to you, and since then, YouTube updated its logo. The Verge reports Christopher Betting, the head of YouTube's art department, explained for the last 12 years, YouTube's logo has been a pair of anachronisms wrapped in each other. Quote, we have the word tube in a television tube. That's weird. No one knows what this is. Tube is slang for television set, which used to be powered by vacuum tubes, but neither tubes nor TVs are central to the world's biggest video service, which now reaches over 1.5 billion people each month, streaming almost any screen with an internet connection. That YouTube logo has been refreshed. It's hugely improved, very clean. What does Steve Jobs used to say? Simple is sophistication, and I think you see that in the new YouTube logo. Christopher Betting, nicely done. Nicely done. It looks really nice when you get to see it. Good friend of the podcast, Greg Jarbo, wrote in Tubular Insights, quote, Chobani Greek Yogurt has just passed the Dollar Shave Club to become the top sponsored video campaign. Chobani had 8 partners and 12 sponsored videos that had a total of 21.9 million views and 451,000 engagements. But the sponsored video that accounted for the largest portion of Chobani's success was, quote, Banana Berry Smoothies 4 Ways. Uploaded to Tasty's Facebook page on July 18th, 2017, the video currently has 21.7 million views and 446,000 engagements. Look, in less than 90 seconds, the sponsored video shows you how to make overnight banana berry oatmeal, a banana berry chai smoothie, a banana berry bowl, and you guessed it, banana berry pops. Apparently, all you need is some Chobani vanilla Greek yogurt and your delicious imagination. Now, there are 11 other sponsored videos in the campaign with 7 other partners, but none of them came close to the popularity of Banana Berry Smoothies 4 Ways. Now, Chobani is still experimenting with different content and different partners to find out which sponsored videos reach and resonate with the relevant audiences. Chobani passed Yoplait in sales and market share last year. In fact, Chobani booked almost $2 billion in sales last year, making it the leading U.S. yogurt brand. The company commands 37% of the Greek yogurt market and 19.8% piece of the total spoonage yogurt market. I think what they're saying is this isn't yogurt you spoon with your partner while eating, okay? I think this is yogurt that you eat with a spoon. I just wanted to clarify so we're all moving along at the same pace. Now, that's right. A 12-year-old startup overtook an established giant in the food genre. Yoplait accounted for 25% of the U.S. yogurt market as recent as 2011. The year that General Mills bought Control Steak after licensing the brand since 1977. Now, until 2015, Yoplait was the country's leading brand. Now, General Mills has slipped to third place, trailing behind both Chobani and Danone. Now, most of these market shifts took place last year before Chobani and Yoplait started experimenting with sponsored videos. And it's worth noting that Danone still hasn't started testing sponsored video. It's really interesting to see how these sponsored videos end up correlating into market share. So I'll let my friend Greg Jarbo give you the business takeaway here. He wrote, what lessons can video marketers learn from these yogurt brands? Well, if you're going to be testing sponsored videos to see what kind of results you can get, do you think you're more likely to learn what works by experimenting with 8 partners and 12 sponsored videos, 2 sponsors and 2 partners, or by waiting for one of your competitors to show you the way, right? Look, you knew that answer from the very start. You're going to get better results experimenting with 8 partners and 12 sponsored videos. These are micro tests. I've been sharing with you in past episodes the value of running a series of little tests, looking to see what yields the best result. And those that generate the best results, apply more gas, replicate it, and start your next series of tests. If you want to read about the Shobani sponsored videos project, and I'm sure while you're reading it, you can think about how your business could follow a similar path, it'll be on the show notes page for this episode. I saw in the New York Times, oh, this is good. Investigators from Major League Baseball have determined that the Boston Red Sox, who are in first place in the American League East and likely headed to the playoffs illegally, stole hand signals from opponents' catchers and communicated those signals directly to a dugout coach using an Apple Watch. The Yankees, who had long been suspicious of the Red Sox stealing catcher signs in Fenway Park, contended that there was a video. They showed a video of a member of the Red Sox training staff looking at his Apple Watch in the dugout and then relaying the messages to players who may have been able to use that information to know what type of pitch was going to be thrown to them. Baseball investigators corroborated the Yankees' claims based on a video the commissioner's office used for instant replay and broadcasts. The commissioner's office has confronted the Red Sox, who admitted that their trainers had received signals from video replay personnel and then relayed that information to some players. And interesting how all this new technology and, yes, video comes back into the oldest thing of them all, baseball, right? New York Times article will also be on the show notes page. Now, in past episodes, I've been telling you about how the NFL, which is really the big dog in sports, and all these other sports have been creating contracts with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat to be able to provide different games on different platforms, right? Well, what we started knowing is that the ratings on television, traditional television, has started to really get disturbed by this because now people are watching through multiple different locations, right? So instead of watching it on Fox Sports or CBS Sports, the NFL, now they could be watching it on multiple devices or on different platforms that don't fit into the Nielsen ratings. Well, the Nielsen TV ratings for the Chargers-Dolphins game on KFMB Channel 8 measured a 12.3 rating. That's the lowest rating for a Chargers game in this market since 1998, right? And I'm going to make that article available. It comes out of the San Diego Union-Tribune. Now, why is this important for video marketers? Well, you should know that the NFL Network is very close to contract renegotiation time. And the social networks are going to be squaring off against the established traditional TV networks for a battle royale of quienes más macho to get the NFL. It's going to be the mother of all bidding wars. But in the past, it was super easy for the NFL to be able to give a contract to, let's say, CBS, and for CBS to afford billions of dollars because you'd only find the NFL in two locations. But now there's multiple locations. So the diversification is taking place, and those contracts, which had once been very, very large, are now going to be a whole lot smaller because people can get coverage from multiple places. I'm going to put on there this image that I saw off of Twitter from SB Nation. And remember at the beginning of this episode, I told you that my dad and I stayed up late in Ohio to watch a football game. We watched the USC-Texas football game that went into overtime. Well, here's the Los Angeles football game attendance from last week. The Chargers had 25,000 people. That's nothing. The Rams had double that, 56,000 people that went to the Coliseum. That is 81,000 between those two games. And the number of people that went to the USC-Texas game was 84,000, right? So the college game in LA had a larger attendance than the NFL's Chargers and Rams combined. sure looks like LA is still run by USC and the men of Troy. In a world of saber rattlers, you know, it's really interesting to see that somebody out there is trying to win themselves a Nobel Peace Prize. And at the brink of World War III, has anybody noticed that NBA Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman offered to broker peace between North Korea and the U.S.? You know we're all officially screwed when Dennis Rodman is the one standing up to save the world. Facebook rolled out a new ad format called Lifestyle Templates. The format attempts to replicate the look of a print catalog, with the added bonus that customers can purchase items directly from Facebook ads. The ads are intended to get someone to click and buy. Catalogs provide inspiration, and Facebooks want to provide inspiration and make it more convenient to actually buy the products, something you can't do with a print catalog. That's from the Business Insider. It'll be on the show notes page. In Inc. magazine, there's an interesting story about how Russia was involved in the election, but what they discovered is, you know, fake Russian accounts bought at least 100,000 political ads during the 2016 election on Facebook. Now, that doesn't sound like a big international sway of public votes. And it's just interesting that first, as a news person, this is what I've always discovered. Come out with the big accusation, get everybody to believe the big accusation, and then later on, you dribble out the details. The details don't really matter when people buy the big first accusation. In Adweek, Facebook video may be hot, but personalization is the real payoff. We've talked in the past on this podcast about the value of personalized video and how it makes someone instantly want to watch that video because of the perceived value. The higher perceived value of having your name in the video encourages you to open it at higher and higher rates. Design for mobile first is something that Inc. and Adweek talk about often, but this week Adweek mentioned brands need to build videos that are mobile first, meaning that how the video is captured, rendered, and edited for mobile applications as a primary channel, not TV, is the primary channel. Mobile is your primary channel, and one of the most important issues to address with mobile content has to do with sound. Is it on? Is it off when they're viewing the ad? As many as 85% of video views on Facebook happen when the sound is off. Unfortunately, a recent Facebook internal study showed that 40% of the ads on Facebook are completely meaningless without sound, which means that people aren't following the platform's best practices for using subtitles or creating videos that work well without sound. Let's stop right here for a moment. If you're going to be creating an ad on Facebook, from this point forward, create that video so the information, the core message, can be ingested without the sound on. Got it? That's your important business takeaway from this article from Adweek. But you should already know this intuitively because many times in the past we have talked about that, of using the captions below or putting your words up on the screen, because most people are sitting at work in a conference room and they're pretending to be following along, and they're going through their Facebook feed. And if they're waiting for a doctor to call them into the doctor's office, or they're sitting at Discount Tires waiting for their tires to be rotated, and there's too many people around, they're going to watch the video visually, but not listen to the audio. And if you're a skilled marketer, which I know you are, you're already thinking about how you can get your message across, regardless if the audio is on or if it is off, right? Start doing that. You know, I've always found that competing viewpoints to be healthy. And I think it has to do with my background in talk radio. I was in Columbus, Ohio, and I heard one little thing that you probably hear every single day. Oh, I like him, but our political views are often different, right? We often have competing political views. And I think of diversity that way too. You know, let's start appreciating diversity, not just in skin color, but also in thought. That's how you learn, right? Don't you want to be challenged? That's how I learn. And the more I've got people that think just like me, the less I grow. Start appreciating diversity of thought. You know, I've always found competing viewpoints healthy. I want to pressure test our tactics internally. And at Wirebuzz, I need my teammates to challenge my strategies that I'm creating for our clients. So it often happens, and it mostly happens between me and Marcus Krieg. We probably behind closed doors, and this is nothing new. I'm not spilling the beans. Marcus and I will each, while we're hearing while we're doing a strategy session with clients, we'll both write down and start laying out our strategy. And then when the client leaves and we thank them, we close the door. One of us starts off, that brave soul starts off and says, all right, well, I think what we're doing is we're creating a drip sequence, and it's going to be five videos. And the first video is going to do this. And the second video is going to do this. And then Marcus will challenge me and he'll push back and go, oh no, this is actually a three-part series. The videos are roughly this long. Here's what the call to action is. And I'll tell you what, have you ever had a table? It's got four legs. Have you ever walked around the table and pushed down on each corner like I'm doing right now? What you end up finding when you pressure test it is you find out where the weak link is. I'd rather have somebody in my office challenge my views on theory on a project in the strategy stage than after it's built. Make sure you turn over every stone possible to see where the weak link is in your strategies before you start executing on them. That's how ideas get polished and perfected. Competing viewpoints happen everywhere in life, in politics, they happen in religion and in businesses, which brings me to a really important part about digital marketing and strategy. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Really, if you do it behind closed doors with your teammate, somebody you know, like, and trust, then you guys can both polish it up and make sure you get the right strategy before you start executing. Because once you start executing, that's when things start to get expensive. Do it right the first time. The trend of sidestepping the mainstream media continues. And when you sidestep the mainstream media because you don't need them anymore, what do? You go to video and go directly to your audience. Well, Kate Middleton, do you know who she is? She is the Duchess of Cambridge. She is Prince William's wife, right? And I'll tell you, in a world where everybody likes to share their opinions about one dignitary or one political leader or one supermodel or, you know, a rap star, I have not heard anybody say a mean thing about Kate Middleton. And how refreshing in our world, right, to have somebody that's just comes across as being really classy and polished. Well, Kate Middleton has spoken out about the difficulty in opening up on mental health topics. And she did it in a video aimed at children and parents. Appearing in a video for the charity Anna Freud National Center for Children and Families, the Duchess of Cambridge explained in simple terms what mental health means. If your business, and here's your takeaway, goes to the traditional media, what ends up happening is you sit down with somebody like I used to be, and you know what you do? You expose yourself to a sucker punch question, another sucker punch question, and maybe a knockout, right? And whose brand can really afford to be cannon fodder of some jerky member of the media like I used to be? You can't. Instead, sidestep the media, create a video, use that, go direct to the people on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, right? And before you know it, your message, which would be insulated from any sucker punch from the media, gets directly out to the people, and you're going to be 1,000 times more effective. If you go to the Today Show and you want to talk about, let's say, mental health issues, I know from prepping clients and actually physically going to the Today Show with them, you will prep for a 7-minute interview, and you want to talk about, let's say, mental health issues, but Your first 5 minutes is going to be whatever in the world the Today Show wants to talk about. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know if they got a bone to pick with you about something you said on Twitter a year ago that was in jest. But what you will get is the last question. Oh, so tell me about the mental health issues and what you're doing with the Children and Family Center, right? Is your time really worth 30 seconds to get your main message out on the Today Show? Or would you be better off insulating a message and going direct to the people? I think now we all know sidestepping the media in most cases is the way to go. And when you do that, do it with video, do it with a tight script, and insulate your brand. You'll get much better results. When my last client went on to the Today Show, oh, you're going to love this. You know how I always tell you that the answers are in the analytics, right? When my last client went on to the Today Show, we did a red eye Wednesday night, flew out. We were up all night. I did media training on the plane because that was the only time the client had available. I did damage control and media training in the dark over North America. And when we landed, the Today Show came and picked us up. We went there, did the interview. And you know what? The answers are in the analytics. Was it worth it? Well, when you went and looked at the analytics later on, really no traffic made it to the site. Totally inconsequential, right? Think about what those end results are. Just because Matt Lauer is going to be there doesn't mean it's a good idea all the time. No offense, Matt. Social Media Examiner wrote an interesting article that I know video marketing masters would find interesting. How to use Facebook video ads to move people through your sales funnel. I'll put this on the show notes page for episode 120. You'll want to see it. Step one, I'll give you a high-level overview, though, just to tee it up. Step one, warm up cold audiences with value rich video, right? That's the first one. Step two, drive warm Facebook prospects to a landing page via product-centric videos. And step three, remarket to website visitors with testimonial or reminder videos. The reason you don't want to use testimonial videos in step one is testimonials don't matter until you're in the decision stage. When your buyer is in the decision stage, the testimonial is a peer-to-peer review. It's think about Yelp for a moment. You start off, Christo and I do this all the time. We're like, we're traveling for business. What do you want to eat, Christo? We already know the answer, sushi. So we open up Yelp, right? We type in sushi and current location. It pops up the sushi. And then what do? We start looking at the photos because photos are better than text. We already know visually if it looks yummy, it's probably going to be pretty damn yummy. It's sushi.
Could you imagine if Yelp was all just articles about food and no pictures?
Yeah, right? If Yelp was all articles, it would be boring. Then you start, once you've narrowed down the pictures look good, then you start reading the reviews because now you're in the decision stage if you're going to go eat there. And when you see those, the same is true with testimonial videos. Use them later on in the decision stage. You'll get much better results. All right. In this episode, you learned why a princess remains a princess by going direct with video to her target audience instead of putting herself out there on a pedestal to be knocked off by some member of the media. And I reminded you, do you want your company or your boss to be knocked off their pedestal? Of course not. Insulate your brand using video. We talked about creating a mobile-first environment from this article from Adweek and the value of being mobile-first and how most of us in these micro moments are shopping online on our phone, ready to make an immediate decision. You know, if I went and looked right now to the last email blast that I put out, the last time I looked at this, I saw that 79% of emails being opened that Wirebuzz is sending out are being opened by mobile. Create everything mobile first, even your videos. When you're creating your videos, make sure that everything that you put on screen, earlier we talked also about Facebook, right? And making sure that those videos on Facebook all had the most important words on the screen. Because most people are going to watch it without the audio on. And the same is true with mobile first. If people are primarily going to be watching your videos on mobile, then make sure the text is extra large. Make it jumbo. So review the video on a browser that's the size of your cell phone, right? Look at it. Does the call to action button, is it big enough for people to see? We're all going blind with our mobile devices. So make those buttons in the text big enough so people can take action. I told you about the NFL and the splitting off of its audience across multiple devices and multiple social networks and how that's going to change the dollars that the NFL is going to be able to claim when it's coming up to its contract renegotiation time. And we also talked about, Boston Red Sox using a Apple Watch to communicate to players on what pitch is going to come next. I told you about Greg Jarboe's article about Shobani and how it has used viral video campaigns to become the big dog in the spoon yogurt industry. You should be paying attention to that, because if you can follow that type of format, you can knock people off in your industry, because David slewed Goliath with a sling and a stone. And the same is true using video, micro tests, limited budgets on social media to upend your industry and turn the big dogs in your industry into a minor player. The convection cycle is in your control if you run micro tests, and you can be the hot air that rises in your industry, and the established brand, you can pull them down. We also discussed the new YouTube logo, which is very clean and classy, Apple Safari, and what their intelligent tracking prevention process is going to be like inside of it, and how YouTube's videos that are about education and learning videos earn four times the watch time of animal videos on that platform. Who would have thought, right? If you like this episode and you want more of Wirebuzz and Todd, go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, hit the subscribe button. Leave a really honest rating and review. That's how we learn. That's how we polish and perfect our process. And if you need to guarantee that your videos generate a return on investment, we created a 5-part mini course that is available to the listeners of this podcast, and it teaches our secrets of how to make sure that each and every one of your videos generates a return on your company's investment. To get access to this free 5-part mini course, just go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. That's right, return on investment. Wirebuzz.com/ROI. And I will continue to do my part as I travel around the country speaking on digital marketing and video topics. And when I come back to my team, collaborating on the latest information, we're going to bring that directly to you so you can be a video marketing master.